24, verse 23. 28. Mary Magdalene testified. They heard that he was alive and had been seen by her. They believed not. Mark 16, 11. Mary did not watch for a spook or a ghost or spirit of Jesus, but a live Jesus. What they could not believe was that the Master was alive. Mark 16, 11. Number 29. Dr. Primrose, a senior anesthetist at the Royal Glasgow Infirmary, he says that the water in the blood was an account of scourging by staves and upset of the nervous vessels, that which was a sure sign that Jesus was alive. And now, the last and final one for tonight, Jesus had himself foretold that he was going to remain alive. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, 39, 40. He himself had told that he was not to die. That is his prophecy. The Jews come to him again. They were coming again and again, making a mockery of the master, rabbi, meester, onsul harach, a teken van isin. So master, we would have a sign of thee. We want you to show us a miracle to convince us that you are the man we are waiting for. You are our Messiah. And Jesus, antwort, sefer hala, aslechta, en uas pelicha, haslaag, soek na a teken, en geen teken sal aan hom gegee word nie. Evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given unto it, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Want suas Jonah, drie da en drie nachta, in the heart and the throat of his was, so shall be seen from the mans, drie da and drie nachta, in the heart and the eyes of his. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. The only sign, he said, I'm prepared to give you is this, the sign of Jonah. And we are asking of a Christian brethren, what was that sign? You know what was the sign of Jonah? Go to the book of Jonah. This is the book of Jonah. This is the book of Jonah, one page in the Bible. I enlarge it for you. It's hard to find. But you find it. You don't have to even go to it. If anybody has been to Sunday school, he knows the whole story. This is the book. This is the book of Jonah. I'm not exaggerating. There is only one page in the Bible called the book of Jonah, this one here, front and back, four short chapters. It won't take you 2 minutes to read it, but you don't have to do that. Everybody knows the story. The Hindu knows it, the Christian knows it, the Muslim knows it, the Jew knows it, everybody knows about Jonah. Jonah in the whale. So Jesus says, the sign, the miracle that I'm going to show you is the miracle of Jonah. So we are asking, what miracle did Jonah perform? So you go to the book of Jonah, and you read there that Jonah was sent to the Ninevites, a city called Nineveh, of 100,000 people. God Almighty tells him, go to Nineveh and warn the people that they must repent in sackcloth and in ashes, meaning they must humble themselves before the Lord. But Jonah, instead of going to Nineveh, he goes to Joppa, and he's running away. He's going to Tarshish. Because he's despondent that these materialistic people, wicked and adulterous generation of his time, they will not listen to me. So, presumptuously, he is running away. And actually, there's a storm. And according to the superstitions of these people, anybody who runs away from his master's command creates such a turmoil at sea. So they began to question who can be responsible. So Jonah, Yunus, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam, Jonah now realizes that he's a guilty man because he's running away from his master's command. So he volunteers. He said, look, I'm the guilty man. God is after my blood and he's going to sink the boat to kill me, and in the process you innocent people will die. You rather take me and you throw me overboard, it'll be alright for you. He makes a manly comeback. They say, no. You might be wanting to commit suicide. You want us to help you? No. We have our own system of finding out right from wrong. What is called casting of lots, like head or tail. And according to that system, it came to the turn of Jonah that Jonah was the guilty man. So they took him and they threw him overboard. So we are asking of a Christian brother that when they threw him overboard, was he dead or was he alive? But to make it easy for them, we have to tell them that, look, this man volunteered. And when a man volunteers, you don't have to strangle him before throwing. When a man volunteers, you don't have to spear him before throwing. When a man volunteers, you don't have to break his arm or limb before throwing. Am I right? He volunteered. He said, throw me. So when they threw him overboard, was he dead or was he alive? What do you say? What do you say? Tell me, quickly. Alive. A little more loud. I want to hear it from your mouth. Alive. A fish comes and gobbles him up. Dead or alive? Alive. From the fish's belly, he's praying to God for help. Do dead people pray? No. So he was alive. 3 days and three nights the fish takes him around the ocean. Dead or alive?
Alive.
On the third day vomits him on the seashore? Alive. Look, Jesus said, for as Jonah was, so shall the Son of Man be. The only miracle. He didn't say blind body must I healed him. You know that woman with issues, she was bleeding for ages and she touched me and she got healed. You know those 2,000 pigs I destroyed. You know the fig tree I dried it up from its very roots. Nothing. You know Lazarus, I brought him back from the dead. Nothing. The only sign I'm giving you is the sign of Jonah. What happened to Jonah is going to happen to me. The miracle of Jonah is my miracle. So we are asking, how was Jonah? Dead or alive? And the Jews say he was alive. And the Christians say he was alive. And the Muslims say he was alive. For 3 days and three nights, the man was alive through and through. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that you throw a man into a raging sea and he doesn't die. It's a miracle. A fish gobbles a man, he ought to die. He didn't die. It's a miracle. 3 days and three nights, suffocation and heat in the wilderness, he ought to die. He didn't die. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of a miracle of a miracle. Can you see? Impossibility. But that's what makes it a miracle, a sign. Now, ask our Christian brother, how was Jesus in the tomb for 3 days and three nights? 1,200 million Christians, they say he was dead. Is that like Jonah in your language or unlike Jonah in your language? Is that suas Jonah or ni suas Jonah? Ask them in your language. The man says once suas Jonah, like Jonah, jingo Jonah. Yes. I said, in your language, please tell me. You are telling me, Jesus said he'll be like Jonah. You are telling me he was unlike Jonah. So who's speaking the truth, you or Jesus? Who is speaking the truth? Is Jesus lying or you are lying? Tell me now. Who between the two of you, the 1,000 million Christians or Jesus Christ? Who is not speaking the truth? Will you please tell us? He said he'll be like Jonah and you say, and that's the only miracle. No, they say. He said, no, he was emphasizing the time factor. Can't you see? He said, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights. He uses the word three, four times to emphasize the time factor. I said, look, there's nothing miraculous about a time factor. 3 days and three nights is not a miracle. The miracle is you expect the man to die and he doesn't die. That's a miracle. You know, the first time I came to your country, beautiful mother city, you know, it took me 3 days and three nights in that train, that old train, Orange Express. 3 days. So it's a miracle. The miracle of Didal took him 3 days and three nights. Is that a miracle? It took me 3 days and three nights, man, coming from Durban to Cape Town. 3 days and three nights. That's a miracle. It's a nonsense, silly. And how can you talk like that? Yes, how can I talk like that? He says, there's nothing miraculous about 3 days and three nights, or 3 weeks and 3 years, what is it? Nothing. But the man, drowning man, clutching at straws, his whole salvation is depending on this. So he says, it's a day, the night and day. He says, no, it's a time factor. It's all right, time factor. When was he crucified? So it's a Friday afternoon. How long was he on the cross? Some say 3 hours, some say 6 hours. I say, whatever you say, I accept. You know, the Jews were in a hurry to put him up. You know why? Because of the general public. He was a hero to the people. He was a hero to the people. And if your hero's life is in danger, there could be a riot. People think it can go out of hand. So before that happens, quickly, quickly, hurry, hurry, hurry. They wanted to hang him up. But when they put him up according to the scriptures, they're now in a hurry to bring him down. You know why? Because of the Sabbath. On Friday at sunset, according to the Jewish calculation, it is Saturday. We are now Saturday. According to Jews, this is Sunday. We are in Sunday night. According to the Islamic calculation, we are in Sunday night. But for you sage, we say Saturday night. Meet us here, otherwise you get confused. So, before sunset on Friday, they had to bring the body down. And they say they brought it down. And they give him a burial wash, which takes a couple of hours, according to this Campus Crusade author. A couple of hours. And they put 100-pound weight of medicaments around the man. Camphor and frankincense and what. 100 pounds. He just didn't put it like that, 100 pounds. And then they put a winding sheet around him. By the time they finished, it's already evening. So Friday night, in the evening, they're supposed to have put him into the sepulcher. Right? And the whole Christian world says, right. So Friday night, he's supposed to be in the grave. I said, wash my fingers. He says, right, he said, right. Saturday daytime, Jesus divided the day into day and night part. So we do the same. Saturday day, he's still supposed to be in the grave. Right, he said, right. Saturday night, he's still supposed to be in the grave. Right, he says, right. Sunday morning, first day of the week, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb and the tomb is empty. Right, he says, right. So how many days and how many nights? Believe me, that the learned man, the born again, he's looking between my two hands. I said, what's wrong? Can't you see? Look at this man. No, he can't. He's puzzled. Do you know why? Because once was Jonah, Brida and Brinatha. From the heart, from the fruit this was, so shall the same from him, Brida and Brinatha. You see, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights. He has seen that. Now when he sees this, he's puzzled. Something has gone wrong. He's going to get caught. So he can't say, can't make up his mind. I said, look, I will help you again. Look, I said, suppose. You know why? Because he could have come out Friday night. Around there was his vegetable garden and his secret disciples' home, mansion. But because the Bible doesn't say, we won't say. So watch again. Friday night, right? Saturday day, right? Saturday night, right? Sunday morning, he's not there. Right? He says, right. How many days and how many nights? It's two nights and a day. Look, even an Einstein can't help you here. So he failed again a second time. He said he'll be like Jonah. You say he's not unlike Jonah. You say, the Christians say he's unlike Jonah. That means one of you is lying, either Jesus Christ or you. You must decide between the two of you who is a liar. Number two, he said three and three and you only see two and one. He failed a second time. So now these plain truth people, you know, the plain Armstrong family, this Armstrong family, they say, no, there is no such thing as a Good Friday. This is a pagan idea. These are pagans. Easter is pagan. Christmas is pagan. Who says the plain truth? 6 million copies a month they give out free. Beautiful magazine, you saw it. Beautiful magazine. Look at this. Free, absolutely free. They say that it was a Good Wednesday when Christ was crucified. Not a Good Friday. It was a Good Wednesday. See, you must count backwards. From Sunday morning, count backwards. So when you cut backwards, you minus 3 and 3, then you get Good Wednesday. So now you start going forward, you'll get Sunday morning, 3 and 3, you'll get it fulfilled. So it's a Good Wednesday. I said, look, my people, I'm telling you now, you must be on guard, because this magazine is very progressive. Sooner or later, all the Christians will opt for this. I'm telling you. And when that happens, our government is going to change Good Friday to Good Wednesday. And I want to tell you that when that happens, if I'm alive, I will come down from Durban and we will march onto Parliament House. And I want you to follow me. Onto Parliament House. Protesting that we don't want to change Good Friday. You know why? Because on Good Friday, we get the maximum number of people coming to our masjids. No? You know, people far and wide, they're working here and there. We can't get together on Fridays. A lot of our people can't even come for Jummah. But on Good Fridays, no excuse. And our imam gets extra time to lecture to us. No? Then, when it's Good Friday, we get 4 days holiday. If it's Good Wednesday, you will never get 4 days holiday. So won't you march with me on to Parliament House? Yes! We must protest! So, I'm asking this head of this movement, he was in Durban, Mr. Fay. So I said, now, you know the way the Christians, they lap it up. When these new things come out, they lap it up. They all lap it up. No, they don't ask questions. And they won't answer questions. These Christians, they go along to deliver lectures, but they will not allow themselves to be questioned. We say, come and question us. Go ahead. So I said, no, privately you can talk to him. So I'm asking him, I said, look, man, it sounds very beautiful, this Good Wednesday business of yours, but how is it that the Roman Catholics for 2,000 years, you know, they say they have an unbroken chain of popes. How is it that they were deceived? And these 1,000 million Christians are all deceived. I said, who deceived them? They don't know the difference between a Good Friday and a Good Wednesday. Who deceived them? So he says, the devil. He said, the devil deceived them. I said, if the devil can deceive the Christians in such a simple thing about a Good Wednesday or a Good Friday, how much easier for the devil to deceive you in the more important things of the Spirit, in the more important things of God? What is the devil worried about Wednesday or Friday? What does it hurt him? Where does it hurt him? Nobody will hurt him. And instead of worshipping the one true God, he makes you to worship a created creature, a created being. That would hurt him. So if he's successful in elementary things, how much easier for him to succeed in the serious things of life? Given you the format, how to go about doing the job, you have to memorize some of these verses. You see? This cake now may hand and may footer. Month disease excel. Memorize it in Afrikaans and memorize it in English. So your Afrikaans is improving, your English is improving. And you are doing a double job. Every time you're quoting, you're giving a two hit. In Afrikaans and in English. Afrikaans and English. Look, you are privileged. Allah has given you that privilege. You are all bilingual. So do it bilingually. Learn the verses in Afrikaans, learn it in English. And the people that you're talking to, also they are bilingual, so two blows. Afrikaans, English. Afrikaans, English. May I wish you the best. Wish you all the success in this work of Dawah. And may Allah bari ta'ala. Look, it is possible that in our lifetime we can change this country. It's possible. You just do a little bit of homework, a little exertion, and Allah will do the rest for you. Because we don't have to apologize for anything. You know, Allah has put us in such a position. You don't have to apologize for anything. At every step, this is the Christian who has to apologize for his religion. He must apologize for his Bible. He apologizes for his Trinity. He apologizes for everything he has to apologize. You don't have to apologize for anything. So, go to town, and this is the privilege Allah has given us. لِيُزْهِرَهُ وَلَدِّينَ كُلِّهِ Allah says, it's to yours, he has given you a deen, master, overcome and supersede every other way of life. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Thank you.